What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and joined by one of the original members of the show today, John Kegley, because of course we are recapping the 2020 NFL draft. But first, we are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, we didn't get much on day two of the draft because the Chargers obviously traded those picks away, but we did get four guys to talk about in rounds four through seven of the 2020 NFL draft. So we're here for you guys today. We're going to be talking about draft grades and what we would have done and stuff like that later on in the week. But on today's show, we're just going to start by just giving a general synopsis of all four players before getting a little bit deeper into it, talking about how they fit, what the value was with the pick, how we feel about the player and the pick itself in the second and third segment. So a lot to talk about today. Let's go ahead and get into it. The 2020 NFL draft concluded on Saturday, and after a bunch of frantic moves on the first night of the draft, the Chargers made some more surprising picks on day three. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. After trading their second and third round picks of the 2020 NFL draft, the Chargers had a lot to make up for on Saturday when they had four picks, one in each round for rounds four through seven. And they made some decisions that seem a little bit questionable, and they might have picked some players that you never really heard of. But getting into what they did, in the fourth round, they selected Josh Kelly, the running back from UCLA, to fill a pounder type of role in between the tackles for the team. In the fifth round, they drafted Joe Reed, who was a kick returner slash wide receiver at the University of Virginia. In the sixth round, they ended up going with a little bit of a surprising pick when they selected Alohi Gilman, who is a safety for Notre Dame. And we know how many safeties the Chargers currently have. And then to wrap up the draft, the Chargers got one of the guys that many people thought would go much earlier, KJ Hill, the all-time receptions leader at Ohio State. They ended up getting in the seventh round, so they doubled down on wide receivers. So getting to the first couple of guys, David, we were all wondering what the Chargers would do with their first pick after not having a pick from pick 23 to pick 112. And with that pick, they decided to add a third running back into the mix. And with the fifth round pick, they found a guy who can not only return kicks, but maybe even help out at the wide receiver three position as well.
In the fourth round, the Chargers decided to go with a bigger type of running back to complement the two smaller backs they already have in the form of UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. Joshua Kelly came off of two very successful seasons with the Bruins, rushing for over 1,000 yards in both of those seasons with 25 rushing touchdowns. And then in the fifth round, they go with a hybrid type athlete, wide receiver Joe Reed out of Virginia. This guy won the Jet Award for the nation's top kick returner, so he is definitely an explosive athlete. And last year had 77 receptions for Virginia with an 8.8 average and 7 receiving touchdowns. Also can boast that he never dropped a deep ball pass in his college career. So a guy that can line up at wide receiver, a guy that can help at kick returner, and a guy that can also line up in the backfield at running back. A very versatile, explosive playmaker.
And when you look at those guys, I mean, for wide receiver, you didn't get the burner necessarily to take the top off the defense, but you got kind of a gadget player and an instant upgrade to your kick returns. And then with Joshua Kelly, whether or not you like the value, he should fit in well with what the Chargers have. But getting to the next couple of guys, the first curveball that Tom Telesco really threw us was drafting Alohi Gilman from Notre Dame, the safety who goes to the Chargers, who have a very crowded secondary at the moment. And with the seventh round pick, they got maybe one of the steals of the draft when KJ Hill fell to the seventh round, a really good route runner. So David, how did you think the Chargers wrapped up the draft with these two guys at the end?
Yeah, obviously, you know, in the sixth round, it was a bit of a surprise for me picking Alohi Gilman, although the Chargers have had a couple of key special teams contributors in Derek Watt and Adrian Phillips leave in free agency. So they had to try to find another person to replace that production, and they did that with Alohi Gilman. And a couple of seasons at Notre Dame, he was very productive as a safety, 94 tackles and 74 tackles respectively, and a guy that can also boast 5 forced fumbles in his career. He's a guy that is a key special teamer for Notre Dame and seems to be able to fit that mold as well for the Chargers in the NFL. And then KJ Hill, probably one of the best value picks in the entire draft. This guy is the all-time receptions leader at Ohio State. He caught over 200 passes in his tenure there. Very reliable, great hands, a route technician, and it's going to be fun to watch him catch passes from Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert for years to come.
Yeah, he figures to really be more of a slot receiver. That's basically what he is, and he's not overly athletic. But the one thing he did very well was just get open. And for the Chargers, if you get a key special teams player with what you've lost out of your sixth round pick, I think that you'd be happy with that. But the Chargers do go this entire draft without drafting an offensive lineman and also not drafting a cornerback, which were two positions that many experts and many people thought they would address in this draft given their need at those positions. But it doesn't feel like the front office thinks those are as big of needs as everyone else. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting it way more in depth with these players and how they're going to fit into what the Chargers like to do, as well as talking about just the value of the picks, especially getting John Kegley's opinions on everybody coming up right after this. But first, right now, more than ever, everyone's cooking at home and they need a break sometimes. And the best way to get that break is Postmates. One of the things I've seen a lot of people doing is using other delivery services, and they're probably paying a ton in delivery fees, but that's not going to be the case with Postmates. And if you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I've been using to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants. Listen up, you guys need to be supporting your neighborhood spots right now. I've only been ordering local because it's a great way to support my community. Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi either. They actually make my life easier picking up everyday items I need from places like Walgreens or 7-Eleven and dropping them right outside my door. So it's a purely contactless delivery. And like I said about those delivery fees, guys, you can get those waived right now because for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, just download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNFL. That's code LOCKEDONNFL, all caps, one word, for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment. And for this segment, I want to just focus on the fourth and fifth round picks for the Chargers because, hey, we have two segments and four players. So I want to really just get into the value of the pick, where they got these guys, how they fit into the Chargers offense or defense, and really just how you like them as a player and what you think they'll be able to do. So, John, I will start with you, and we will start with fourth round pick Joshua Kelly. This is a guy that was mocked to go a little bit later, but I mean, I think we found out in this draft that mock drafts mean nothing as far as where players are going to go. But what did you think when the Chargers ended up selecting him with their first pick since the 23rd pick?
I was kind of surprised, actually. I didn't expect him to be selected that early, but at the same time, I like the pick. I feel like we got a guy who's got speed and power, and this running game lacks power. So to get him, and he's a guy that grew up in Lancaster, has played it in LA at UCLA, so he's not going far from home either, so he's going to feel really comfortable where he's playing. So if you have a guy that's comfortable where he's playing, he's going to fit in the offense as far as we need a power back guy, because if you don't have that, if you have third and goal at the one, is Austin Ekeler going to get that? No, it's going to be Joshua Kelly who gets that. And he can also catch out of the backfield. He didn't do it a lot, but he can catch and also plow ahead for that third and goal at the one if they crowd the box. Mm-hmm. If you got all those, you have a recipe for success. Now, the difference is, of course, in college, he had a really bad offensive line. UCLA was horrible. We've made improvements to ours, so we don't have that UCLA-type offensive line that we had last year. And he still was able to make holes for himself in that offensive line, but he also ran into his own offensive linemen a lot, so it's really hard to tell how good his ability to read the hole is. But the fact that he's able to lower his shoulder and make his own hole as well, despite a bad offensive line, is really good for us.
Yeah, I would say as far as, you know, finding what little hole there was and just at least making sure that he limited the damage at times because there was guys in his face right off the snap, I thought he did a pretty good job of that. He's not going to make a lot of people miss in the open field, but he is definitely a little bit faster than you would think for a guy his size. And let's all remember, too, that the running backs when they started getting drafted was about what everyone thought, but nobody expected A.J. Dillon to go before the Chargers picked in the fourth. Nobody expected Zach Moss to go as highly as he did. I mean, the Chargers might have expected both those guys to get to them at the 112th pick and ended up with Josh Kelly, but it continues a string of the Chargers drafting local players. They have Scott Questenberry, obviously, and they've done the same thing with USC as well, with a few Trojans on the team too, but I definitely like the pick. The value of the pick is different. But David, what did you think about Josh Kelly in the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, I knew they were going to get a running back at some point. I don't know if the fourth round is exactly where I was expecting them to be able to grab one. I thought that was a bit too early, but I like the fit. I like the type of player he is. I think he fits in the current running back room that the Chargers have. I mean, they have a quick, fast, twitchy guy in Justin Jackson. They have another one of those in Austin Ekeler, who is also a phenomenal receiver. And now they got a guy that can come in for 10 to 12 touches and get those tough yards and run in between the tackles, a guy who says that he enjoys running in between the tackles. I mean, that's a rare type of breed, type of running back. You know, one of the knocks on him is he wears down. I think in this situation, in a running back by committee offense that the Chargers are going to run, that, you know, they're going to be able to keep him fresh and be able to keep him doing what he does best, which is to run over people. That's the one thing I saw a lot when he was running, is he's a physical type of runner. He wants to inflict the damage. He's not going to try to make you miss very much, but he is going to do whatever he can to run you over and get those extra yards. And he falls forward, which is something I appreciate in a running back.
Absolutely. I mean, he's definitely not the flashiest guy, but one thing he does very well is he makes people have to try to tackle him with his arms, which just isn't going to work on a guy his size with his power. He makes people have bad tackle attempts, and he had a ton of yards after contact in UCLA. And what John was saying about him as a receiver, he's a fine receiver. I mean, he looked pretty fluid when he was getting receptions, but he wasn't asked to do that much. And like you said, David, he's not going to be asked to do that much in this backfield. And one of the situations where I really think this helps them as well, John, is in the fourth quarter, if you're up in that game, Justin Jackson and Austin Ekeler aren't really the guys that are going to be able to run it when they know it's coming at him and still being able to make something happen. This is a guy that, getting late in the game, he comes in fresh after, you know, the entire game has gone by, and now you have to tackle this guy after chasing around Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson all day. That's something I look forward to.
Absolutely. When you have a three-point lead against a Patrick Mahomes offense type of team, and you have 4 minutes on the clock and you need to run the clock down, Joshua Kelly's going to help with that a lot. At UCLA, he got a lot of carries. He got used a lot, and he got worn down a lot because of that, and that's why he didn't get a lot of receptions. But a guy that's going to take maybe 10 carries, maybe 15 carries at the most during most games is going to be fresh at that moment. So, yes, absolutely. You're going to have a guy who's going to be able to power that in. Even if it's for 3 to 4 yards at a time, it's not going to look flashy on the stat sheet, but it's going to look good on the win call.
Well, and the one thing that's going to look good on the stat sheet is him getting touchdowns, because I think Justin Jackson and Austin Ekeler have both been a little sketchy near the goal line. So I think you're going to see this guy get a lot of those carries, especially with the Chargers not really having a fullback. I know there's an undrafted guy, but
just watching him, he played against San Diego State. I got to see that in person. That's a good tackling defense that San Diego State had, and he was still bouncing off of them just to fight for the few yards that he got. He only got like 15 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown in that game, but he fought for all those yards, and he carried like 3 Aztecs at a time sometimes.
And that's what you love to see, and I think he can fill a lot of what Melvin Gordon did. He's not as explosive as Melvin Gordon, definitely, because Melvin Gordon had times where he'd break off some chunk plays, but as far as short yardage, goal line, with still a little bit of juice to actually, you know, get around somebody if he has to, I definitely like that pick. Fourth round, obviously you'd love to have him in the sixth round. It's just, with the run on running backs, it wasn't a great value pick, but I like the fit overall. So getting to the next guy, David, in the fifth round, this was a guy that not many people had heard of. And I think a lot of people turned on the tape and were pleasantly surprised with what they saw out of Joe Reed, a wide receiver from Virginia. There were so many wide receivers to look at in this draft. I didn't even really get to watch Joe Reed, but the Chargers ended up pulling the trigger on him in the fifth round. And they got a guy who, I mean, versatility is the name of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, this is a guy that's going to be able to line up all over the field and going to bring you value. As a kick returner, he was the best in the country. Like I mentioned before, he won the Jet Award. I mean, this guy in the open space is dynamite. I mean, you see why he was so successful as a kick returner, why he had those 5 kick return touchdowns in his career. He just has a knack, a natural ability for making people miss. I mean, even as a receiver, as you know, the last year in college, you know, a lot of the times they were giving him the football, you know, behind the line and watching him create, and he was always able to make some magic happen. Like, this guy's electric, and I love the size that he brings to the table as well, to bring with his 4.4 speed. I think Joe Reed is going to be a fascinating player to watch, and a guy that you're going to see make impact plays from a couple of different positions.
Definitely, and I think I saw it somewhere, it just says he's built like a running back, and he is. I mean, about 6 foot, about 220, like that is a running back's build, and he runs like a running back too. He loves to get north and south, and there's nothing worse than have a receiver catch it 1 yard short of the first down mark, and they try to dance around and get around the corner, and they ended up losing the first down when they had it. I don't think that'll be an issue with this guy. And John, for me, I think this says a lot about what the Chargers are trying to do. I think this draft says a lot about the differences that we're going to see in the Chargers this year, because getting a player like this, especially for a guy in Tyrod Taylor, definitely has his faults as a quarterback, and a young quarterback in Justin Herbert. Okay, now we're getting guys that we can give it to him right off the snap. We can throw a wide receiver screen. We can give him a little jet sweep action. We can do all of these things where he's not having to run all of these fine-tuned routes downfield. It's get him the ball, let him make a play. And I think for Tyrod Taylor and even for Justin Herbert, I think we're seeing the Chargers attack players that are going to fit into what they want to do offensively. And I definitely think they have a plan with Joe Reed.
That plan looks like they're trying to take the pressure off the QB. They're trying to make the QB make as few plays as they need to. They have a playmaking running back, Austin Ekeler. Now they have a power back in Josh Kelly. And now you're going to have a wide receiver that you can hand it off to, wide receiver screen. You can do anything with him, which means he's going to get a lot of touches as well, which means Tyrod or Herbert, whoever is going to be the quarterback, is going to have to make as many plays as someone like Phillip Rivers did, where Phillip Rivers was throwing the ball 40 times a game. It's going to be more like 20 times a game for Tyrod or Herbert while we run the ball and do these design screens, trick plays, whatever you can think of. I think that's the route they're going with. It's going to be less of a quarterback-led team and more of a playmakers type of team.
Yeah, and I mean, like David was saying, you know, he always seems to make some magic happen. I mean, when I was watching his tape, when he gets the ball around the line of scrimmage, almost every single time he made at least one defender miss, and that's a hard thing to do. Like, here's the ball. When you catch it, you could lose yards, but here, go make a first down. That's something that Joe Reed had to do a lot, and the one thing that they didn't fill with this pick is obviously getting just a pure speedster at mid 4.4s is not going to do a lot for you as far as a pure deep threat, even though we did see him. I mean, like David said, he didn't drop a pass. We saw him make some good catches down the field, but it wasn't because of the separation he was creating in college, and that's something that is definitely going to follow him into the NFL. But get the ball in his hands, and his field vision, the way he sees the field on kick returns with the ball in his hands, the creases that he sees, and the ability to make people miss or have bad tackle attempts and keep all of his momentum going north and south and going forward is something I thought that was really special when I watched him on tape. 5 career kickoff return touchdowns, guys. Chargers haven't had a good kick returner in a long time. And he also brings you, you know, that X factor / gadget guy on the offense as well. So that is a pick that I liked a lot more after I watched him than I did when they initially made the pick. But we do have 2 more picks to talk about. We have Rams 6 and 7, where things got a little bit interesting in the 6th round. We'll talk about it coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment. I love talking about this draft. I'm just so glad that we have guys to talk about, new Chargers on the team to get excited about, to get mad about even, just to have something to talk about, just to have something that's new and fresh, and being able to watch film on guys that I actually am going to see in a Chargers uniform was something that was pretty cool for me to do over the last couple of days. And John, I know you're a film junkie, so I know you were excited, you know, to see who the Chargers were going to get. And in the 6th round, you were calling it the entire draft. You were saying, where's the Tom Telesco curveball going to come in? I think Drew Tranquil was one of those guys last year, at least the player himself when they selected him. It was kind of like, what the hell? You know, that was kind of random. Nobody really had that there. But we knew a curveball was coming. We've seen it so many times And with the Chargers in the sixth round, going with a safety, a smaller safety from Notre Dame with this pick was definitely count as a curveball.
It definitely was a curveball. I was expecting an offensive lineman, maybe a corner. I was not expecting another safety to be added to this team, let alone one that wasn't even like on a mock draft board anywhere that I could find. And I scouted every single one of these players except for this one. Out of that whole draft, that's the only guy I did not even bother looking at, didn't even know who he was. This is the only guy I had to go back and go, who is this guy? Let's look at some film on this guy. Let's read up some stuff. And this guy can hit a little bit. He has a little bit more of like a power hit to him. He doesn't have like a wrap-up hit to him. This is a guy who once he hits you, he might like bounce off or slide down and just hold on for dear life to you. But he rarely takes you to the ground. But he has that knack for wanting to hit you, which means he could be a really good special teams guy for this team probably. We lost DeZuner. And we lost Derek Watts, so now we got to have that special teams player. So I'm guessing this has to be what they were looking for here, because there's no way this guy is a future starter somewhere at safety unless it's something in the box like a linebacker.
Right, and that's what I got away from it. And I went into watching this film with very low expectations, and I was actually pleasantly surprised just because, I mean, first of all, you can tell why Anthony Lynn and his coaching staff wanted this guy, right? I mean, he plays with all of the passion. He plays with all the fire. He plays at 100 miles an hour with ill intent. And he always, you know, gets in and sometimes tries to go for big hits with his shoulders and doesn't wrap up and tries to strip the ball and ends up letting guys get a few extra yards. But for the most part, you love the attitude that this guy plays with, David. But obviously, looking forward, looking at this position and how stacked the Chargers are in the secondary right now, there's definitely a logjam there. Not knowing what the plans are for guys like Desmond King and knowing that, you know, sub packages might be the best way for a guy like Nazir Adderley to get on the field, which is something you would have for Alohi Gilman, have him be like a nickel linebacker where you can keep him near the line of scrimmage, shorten those angles a little bit, and just let him go be physical and hit people. I mean, that's the best role for him. But this was kind of a weird pick, David. I know that there's one that when you saw it, you were definitely not happy about.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell are you talking? What the hell are you thinking when you made this pick? I just don't understand. We have so many guys that are going to compete in the secondary at safety that you don't need another safety. The only possible thing that made sense to me with regards to this guy was he's a guy that's going to come in and affect special teams right away. I mean, there's just not a spot for this guy and the way he plays on this current defense, because there are other guys that do what he does better than he does it. So it was definitely a crazy pick in my mind. But, you know, you turn on the tape and you see some good things. I mean, he has really good pursuit. I mean, when he locks in on a player, he's definitely going to kill. But, you know, that kind of gets him in trouble sometimes, because he does over-pursue sometimes and gets kind of knocked out of the play. He goes for the legs. I love his feisty attitude. You talked about his passion. I think it's feisty. I don't know. I'm a big guy, so whenever I see a little guy, I mean, the way he plays, that's kind of what I saw. But, I think he's going to definitely come in and affect special teams right away. And also, like I mentioned before, 5 forced fumbles. The guy has a knack for getting the ball out of your hands. I believe against Vanderbilt, we were talking earlier, Daniel, he made a spectacular play on the one where he just ripped the football out and caused a key turnover that probably swung that game.
Yeah, that one was pretty crazy, just because he literally ripped it out so hard, like on the 1 yard line, that the ball flew up like 20 feet in the air and there was like a mad scrum for it in the end zone. And then the defense ended up getting the ball back. So you love plays like that. And the Chargers love guys with good leadership. He was a captain for Notre Dame. They love Notre Dame, incidentally. I mean, they just can't stop taking guys from Notre Dame. But ask you this. I mean, let's look at some other sixth-round picks that we could talk about. I mean, Sam Tevy, I guess that you got more out of that than you wanted. You look back at Dylan Cantrell. You look back at another guy from last year, Emeka Egbuwa. Did we really see a lot of out of Emeka Egbuwa last year? Not really. So if you're telling me that this guy can come in and actually be a plus player on special teams, potentially down the road. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe fill in some sub packages and stuff like that. I could buy into that. It's not a pick I would have made there given the Chargers' needs. I think Prince Tego was still available there. I would rather have had another guy that could potentially turn into a swing tackle or something, or give, I mean, Trey Pipkins at least some competition. I know, I think I saw somebody laughing about it, like, you're not going to get the starting left tackle in the sixth round. You're definitely not, but there was definitely other ways you could go about trying to address needs on this team. But if he turns into a really good special teams player, I think it's worth a sixth round pick. So I get that part of it. Just don't really see how he's going to fit into the fold right now with what the Chargers have going on there. But then we get to, I mean, there's nothing better than having a really good seventh round pick to get excited about, right, guys? I mean, Justin Jackson was a seventh round pick. It's just when you get a guy in the seventh round that slid like the one the Chargers did, it's a really exciting way to wrap up the draft. And that's with KJ Hill. And I had said it throughout the draft process, I wanted the Chargers to double down on wide receiver in this draft. I didn't think they'd be getting rid of any of their picks for a linebacker. So I didn't know, you know, I thought they would have a full seven picks to go get two wide receivers. They ended up doing it, and they ended up doing it with a really non-flashy guy, but a guy that just always seems to get open, John. And when you're talking about their career receptions leader at Ohio State with some of the receivers that they've had there, that's pretty impressive. And it's kind of like Keenan Allen to an extent. Like, his 40 time absolutely killed him. Keenan Allen ran a 4.7 plus 40 that made him drop to the third round. KJ Hill had a lot of that just because he doesn't have a lot of explosiveness, really. He's not that kind of player. He's not going to be your number one outside receiver for your team. But I think there's really a lot to like about this pick, John. I know some people are down on him as a prospect, but there's always something to be said about a guy who gets open and can get open quickly, especially if we're talking about the Chargers kind of changing things up offensively.
Well, first thing I'm going to say is he might be the all-time receptions leader at Ohio State. You know who number one used to be? David Boston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did see that, actually. Yeah, I know. That's funny. Well, and like, and Michael Thomas went there. It's like, have he, you know, stayed and stuff? Like, obviously, yeah, so this is another player.
The guy he beat was the guy who's considered one of the worst players to play for the Chargers. How ironic, right?
He beat Ryan Leaf, actually.
But this guy is someone who can run any route that you want him to run, basically. He can run them all. And he can run him well. He can run him in the middle of the field. He can run him to the outside of the sideline. He can run him deep. Whatever you want him to do, he's going to do it, and he's going to work for the ball. And to have a guy like that with this team changing just gives you so many more options. But it looks like with the receivers that we have, we could be looking for a lot of quick, short passes because these guys don't look like your average deep threat receiver. I mean, yeah, Joe Reed has some decent tape to go deep, but he didn't get separation. KJ Hill doesn't have the greatest 40 time. Keenan Allen didn't have a good 40 time, and he catches short, quick routes. I feel like this is going to be that quarterback rolls out of the pocket and finds that receiver 15 yards at the deepest down the field, and they catch and run. Joe Reed, catch the ball, run up the field. KJ Hill, catch the ball, run up the field. All the running backs do the same thing. I feel like KJ Hill fits that perfectly, and it's just looking like we're going to be a ball control offense.
Well, and I think how it's looking like, I mean, running and having deep threats and everything is nice, but especially if you're going to a heavy play action kind of formula with a lot of zone running, it's going to be, I mean, I don't know if it'll be as crazy as, you know, the Tennessee Titans where it's just Derrick Henry, a couple of occasional deep shots from Ryan Tannehill, but I think that is going to be similar to what they want to do. And when you're talking about those play action passes, obviously you want fast guys, but those are more predicated on having the defense bite in, having that safety take a step up in the box to get a one-on-one. And they have some outside receivers one-on-one in Mike Williams and also Joe Reed that can win in those contested catch situations now. So as far as that goes, I think it's just really, you know, implicates the type of offense the Chargers are going to want to go to. But David, were you surprised to see a guy like this who obviously just couldn't stop catching the ball and getting open for his quarterback to fall to the seventh round like he did?
I was extremely surprised. I was like, there's no way that KJ Hill is on the board right now and the Chargers are going to take him. And they did take him. I just can't believe it. I mean, it's incredible value. And I think it changes the way you look at this draft. I mean, some of those other guys, you didn't really feel comfortable with where they took them. But because you got such a great value in KJ Hill in the seventh round, I think it kind of makes those other picks a little bit more acceptable. I mean, this guy, all he does is get open. He catches pretty much everything that's thrown his way. I mean, he's a very reliable type of receiver. Yes, he is not the fastest guy in the world. He does not have great agility, but he can run his routes perfectly, and that's what he uses as his weapon, and that's what's going to be successful no matter what level you're at. He's going to be able to catch passes and be productive in the NFL because that precision is going to get him open. He is going to catch a lot of balls in this offense. And hey, who doesn't want a guy that has sticky hands, that's reliable, that's going to be there when you need him?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe I just have a soft spot for crafty receivers just because of my admiration for Keenan Allen. But I liked what I saw from this guy on tape a lot. Like you said, he's very reliable, dependable. He's consistent. And he also had some pretty crazy catches. I forget what game it was, but just like a behind the head, turning around one hand, palm the ball, and running for a touchdown. It's just he had some ridiculous plays on his tape to go along with some of just the consistent stuff that he did. And he's not going to be a big yards after the catch guy, but converting third downs is very important. So if you're talking about a Chargers offense, it should be looking at a lot more third and shorts this year. In years past, you're going to want guys that can get open off of the line of scrimmage and make sure, even if it's a contested catch, even if they don't have much space, that they can come down with it and make a big catch when they have to. And I think KJ Hill is one of those guys. So obviously he best projects to the NFL as a slot receiver, which is something we've seen Keenan Allen play a lot of in the past. But I think there's enough guys now in the room where you can really mix things around, and we have seen Keenan Allen get out there. So with the kind of plays the Chargers are going to be running, I think that they got two players that really fit what they want to do, because there was plenty of big name receivers on the board when they, at least when they selected Joe Reed, that they didn't end up going with. So I think you're just finding guys that fit what the Chargers want to do well. And obviously I think this is a pick that everybody can get behind. And there's nothing better than seeing like the best available list during the draft, and you're like, how is KJ Hill still there? Like, maybe they'll do it. No, they won't do it. They already took a wide receiver. And then they take the guy that everyone's kind of talking to their TV and saying, hey, let's get this guy. This is an incredible value. So if it works out or not is yet to be determined. He also can return some punts, so he might be able to compete for that as well. But I really liked that pickup. Overall, it was a strange draft just because we saw Tom Telesco do a lot of things that we don't really see from Tom Telesco. And it looked like Anthony Lynn's influence really played its way into this draft more than we've seen in other years. But we'll have a ton more draft coverage for you guys this week. We'll have who would we have picked if the draft fell the same way, kind of a reverse mock draft where we go through and give some alternate picks. We're going to give some grades out. I know grades can be dumb at times, but compared to the other guys we watch and stuff, we will give some draft grades and how we think Tom Telesco did, as well as just talking about, hey, the fact that the Chargers didn't take an offensive tackle or a cornerback and what the team thinks about those positions and who they have there. All of those things the rest of the week for you guys. So until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. Make sure to follow us on Apple Music or iTunes and follow us. Make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Music or iTunes and follow us on Spotify and give us a good review. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you guys being here for this roller coaster draft ride where we watched so many second and third round picks just to have the Chargers not pick any of those rounds. It was a crazy time. But till next time, guys, if you guys want to get your voicemails on the show, the number is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show, and we'll be able to get back to that now. But we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, as we always do. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.